the WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Virginia's unemployment rate is down most sharply in cities in the WMRA region. A new Virginia poll shows strong support for Democrats in November's General Assembly election and support for almost any Democrat over Trump in 2020. And we've got an interview with October's featured Books and Brews author Thomas Capsidelis, who has written about guns and mass shootings more than a decade after the massacre at Virginia Tech. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, October 7th. A Christopher Newport University Wasson poll released Monday morning shows Virginia voters strongly favoring Democrats in General Assembly elections this year. Charles Fishburne with VPM News reports.
The poll says newly energized Democrats are well positioned to pick up the seats they need to take control of both chambers of the General Assembly.
We ask the voters, would you prefer Democrat or Republican control?
Assistant Director Rachel Bitterkofer says the poll shows Democrats maintain a significant Trump-era advantage.
Here, too, Democrats have a huge lead, a 16-point lead being powered by a 17-point advantage, too, among independents.
That's 53% to 37%. She says questions on gun control, health care, minimum wage, and abortion show voters are significantly more likely to vote for candidates who support Democratic Party positions. The poll shows Governor Northam has recovered from the blackface scandal with a 51% approval rating, while President Trump's approval rating is 37%. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
The jobless rate is down in cities around Virginia, according to data released by the U.S. Labor Department. For the month of August, all Virginia metro areas in 2019 were below the unemployment rate for the same period in 2018. In August 2019, unemployment was below 3% in the Charlottesville, Winchester, and Harrisonburg areas. Harrisonburg had the biggest decline from 3.2% in August 2018 to 2.7% in August 2019. And state government figures track with the federal data. Data from the Virginia Employment Commission show that unemployment is down from last year in 124 out of 133 localities in Virginia. Dominion Energy will get a hearing before the U.S. Supreme Court in its attempt to cross the Appalachian Trail with its Atlantic Coast Pipeline, and the stakes for energy interests and preservationists are high. And Charles Fishburne has that report.
The Fourth Circuit ruled in December that the U.S. Forest Service did not have the authority to allow the pipeline to cross beneath the trail. Some industry analysts call it a great wall blocking energy transfer from the Midwest to the East Coast. But preservationists say the court was correct.
Atlantic Coast Pipeline is a boondoggle.
Senior attorney D.J. Gerken of the Southern Environmental Law Center argued the case before the Fourth Circuit.
It's backed by politically connected companies looking to make a quick buck with guaranteed profits, not to deliver gas to anyone who actually needs it.
Dominion said in a statement there were already more than 50 pipelines crossing underneath the Appalachian Trail without disturbing public use, and they look forward to making their case early next year. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Full disclosure, the Southern Environmental Law Center underwrites programming on WMRA. New wireless technology is being installed on utility poles across the Commonwealth thanks to a new law that has opened the floodgates for small cell technology. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the details.
Back in 2018, the General Assembly was considering a bill that would allow Verizon and AT&T to sidestep local zoning boards and architectural review commissions. Supporters said the idea was to create one statewide structure for the companies to negotiate, and many rural lawmakers liked the idea of expanding wireless access across Southwest Virginia. But State Senator Chad Peterson of Fairfax City disagreed.
This is not about rural service. This is about going to localities that have a target-rich environment. People want to put better cell service in because that's where the customers are and want to override local zoning authority.
Now, dense metropolitan areas in Virginia are seeing a flood of applications. This year alone, Alexandria has already received more than 40 applications for small cell technology to be installed in the public right-of-way, including the Old Town Historic District. Several city council members say they're concerned the General Assembly has taken away their zoning authority, although Mayor Justin Wilson says building the network is worth it.
I hear everyone on being frustrated with this process and frustrated with the state process and the federal process here, but we should want to be up to date on technology.
The first small cell installations in Alexandria will happen on wooden utility poles, although the companies eventually want to install them on traffic lights and buildings. Supporters say having a high-speed wireless network with the latest technology is worth any kind of aesthetic problems. Michael Pope.
Finally today, this interview in advance of October's Books and Brews event. On April 16th, 2007, a mass shooter killed 32 people at Virginia Tech. Journalist Thomas Capsidelis supervised the Richmond Times-Dispatch's coverage of the tragedy. In his new book, he examines the decade after the massacre through the experiences of survivors and those who lost loved ones. Capsidelis is our featured author at Books and Brews on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. He spoke with WMRE's Chris Boros, who asked him what his initial reaction was to the shootings.
Disbelief and the rapidly forming realization that we would all be called upon to cover a tragedy the likes of which none of us had ever faced.
As a journalist, how difficult was that for you to not let it get to you personally?
It's really impossible for it to not affect you personally. At the same time, we realized that we had a responsibility as journalists and to the community to report the story as accurately and thoroughly and as respectfully as possible.
When you were working on this book and you reached out to survivors or parents who had lost a child, what was that like? How did you deal with that?
I tried to approach family members and survivors and their loved ones with the understanding that they would be full partners in my attempt to tell their story. I wanted them to convey to me what their experiences were and how they had persevered through this period. And indeed, how some of their work as advocates became an inspiration to others who were seeking reforms during this time.
Is there a specific story of one of the survivors or family members you've talked to that really stands out for you as being powerful?
I think they're all powerful in different regards. Some of the survivors who I've profiled in the book have been active in gun safety. Two police chaplains and a former lieutenant with the Blacksburg Police Department created a program in Virginia, the Virginia Law Enforcement Assistance Program, that helps officers who have responded to scenes of great trauma, helps them in dealing with their own emotions after responding to such tragic and traumatic events. Their work grew directly from their efforts at Virginia Tech.
How did Virginia Tech deal with the tragedy? Is it still something that's remembered on campus, or have they kind of swept it under the rug?
There was a lot of controversy within the first 2 years and longer over the university's response. I would say that the university has a tremendous spirit. When I went there for the 10-year memorial anniversary in 2017, there was a huge turnout for a memorial walk and run, and the memorial events were held with great dignity and were very well attended. So I believe that there is a determination to not forget.
When you hear stories about new mass shootings, I assume it hits you pretty tough. What's that like for you when you continue to hear stories about these things happening?
It's very difficult when there are repeated instances of mass gun violence in our country. And certainly this summer we've seen so many. It's especially difficult for the survivors, not only at Virginia Tech, but at other mass shootings. So as a journalist, yes, it is extremely difficult, but it is nothing compared to what the survivors feel and what the family members and their supporters feel when they see the country unable to take action to reduce the chances of such tragedies happening again.
When you do talk to survivors or people who have lost a loved one, do you think there's a common thread of how people cope with something like this, something so terrible?
They want the memories of their loved ones to be honored through actions that can reduce the chances of something like this happening to other families.
Thomas Capsidelis is the author of After Virginia Tech, Guns, Safety, and Healing in the Era of Mass Shootings. He's our speaker tomorrow and Wednesday for WMRA's Books and Brews. Thomas, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you for speaking with me.
Chris, thanks so much.
To learn more about Thomas Capsidelis' new book and for information on this week's Books and Brews, visit WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Monday.